took a slow, careful look all around him and saw no one. At that moment, it struck him that he hadn't seen a single living creature since leaving the mansion. Not a bird nor an animal. Nothing but the ragged old woman who had led them here. He braced himself as he moved away from the tar-painted wooden wall and kicked in, ripping it off its single hinge. Almost simultaneously, he heard the albino boy burst through the front. The hut was less than 12 feet square, and nobody was in there. He faced Jack, eyeball to eyeball, across the stinking squalor of the cabin. They were joined a brace of heartbeats later by JB.
Nobody?
Gotta be someone close by.
Ryan pointed at the open hearth, where a haunch of meat, vaguely resembling venison, was cooking on a spit. The outside of the meat was already blackened and scorched in a couple of places. On the corner of the fire was a trivet that held a filthy and chipped enamel pot containing a mix of bubbling vegetables. Ryan licked his lips at the delicious odor that filled the hut.
One bed.
Big enough for two.
Two plates on table. Two spoons, two mugs.
But only one corpse.
Their subsequent wreck took only a couple of minutes. Jack remained by the front door, watching for anyone coming along the same trail that had brought them to the hut. Ryan went one way and JB the other, checking the shed and the outhouse. The latter was empty. The former was packed with bales of furs, some of them already sewn into crude coats, cloaks, and hats. The shed also contained a large smoked ham and some dried fish. A well at the rear of the property provided sweet water, achingly cold.
Gotta be someone else around.
Wind shifted dry, loose snow. Covered any tracks out the rear. Reckon we should eat what we can, then load up food, furs, and water, and head back to the others.
That makes sense. I'll watch. You two eat what you can get down. I'll eat, and you can guard and start pulling some furs together.
Iron runner slid behind the crapper. Easy for three of us. Carry more that way.
Ryan wished that Christy had been with them. Apart from her strength and support, the muty side of her genetic makeup would have been invaluable. She could see. Not the way a Doomy could make out the grim elements of the future, but she could often feel if there was an imminent threat of danger, even confirm that a place was deserted. It would be helpful to know the location of the person who used the second spoon and plate.
I don't like this.
Ryan rubbed the back of his hand across his stubbled chin. He looked around the room.
Hairs at the nape of my neck are prickling. It's close. Man or woman, it's real close.
Jack, moving as light as quicksilver, darted from window to window, rubbing at the cobweb-covered glass and peering out.
Nothing.
Ryan moved to the front door.
I'll go and keep looking around. You two get into that meat. And leave some for me.
His hand was on the carved wooden latch.
And I'll...
Face dark night!
A shaft of light pierced the gloom as the door flew off its hinges, but the pale rectangle was swiftly blotted out. One of the longest-lasting byproducts of the destruction of 95% of all humanity was the endless chain of genetic mutations that resulted from the poisonous rad clouds that drifted clear around the globe. This was made infinitely worse by the inbreeding that followed in the myriad small villes and hamlets that survived. Cousin lay with cousin, brother made love to sister, father to daughter, and mother to son. And the spawn of these blasphemous couplings carried the taint on and on for every succeeding generation, on down the line. The curse lingered, like the malevolent smile of a habitual poisoner. And muties came in all shapes and sizes. What came in through the door was either a Russian version of a Rocky's grizzly bear, or one of the biggest muties that Ryan Carter had ever seen. The man, this time there was no possibility of any mistake, stood at least 8 feet tall. He'd stooped to enter the hut, and his head now scraped the rafters. Since he was wearing layers of fur, it was difficult to judge his weight, but Ryan's instinctive guess put the mutie at around 700 pounds. His face showed all the intelligence of a fence post and all the friendliness of a cornered rattlesnake. His eyes were like tiny chips of malachite, scarcely visible behind the rolls of puffy fat that swelled from his cheeks. His nose was a raw hole in the center of his face, edged with dribbling candles of green snot. His ears, under the fringe of straggly blonde hair, were mutilated lumps of red gristle. The man bared his teeth, his cracked lips surrounded by a downy mustache and beard. His huge hands flexed angrily, reaching toward the three invaders of his squalid domain. The billowing waves of the mutie's stinking breath made Ryan wince. The cramped cabin wasn't the best place in the world for hand-to-hand combat with someone of that size.
Man! Yeah.
Jack dove at the human monolith. He aimed a lethal kick at the giant's right knee. The mutie never moved. feet planted wide apart, he swatted the boy away from him, as if he were merely an annoying gnat. He landed near the fire and lay still, eyes closed.
Fuck this!
Ryan drew his 9mm pistol. The mutie peered down at the neat blaster and threw his head back. Ryan squeezed the trigger on the P226. A thin trace of smoke trickled from the end of the barrel. Ryan had been using the gun for quite a while and was used to seeing men go down when they were hit. For a mind-toppling few seconds, he actually thought that the automatic must have misfired. He knew there was no way on the good earth that he could have missed the mutie at such close range. It would have been like missing a barn wall when you were shooting from the inside. The Russian didn't even rock on his heels. He looked at Ryan with a puzzled expression. Slowly, his right hand reached out, and he touched himself in the lower part of his chest where Ryan had aimed. In the gloom of the hovel, it was impossible to make out any sign of the bullet's entry on his matted fur coat. Ryan felt the first tremor of unease. The Deathlands was full of stories of muties, always someplace over the next hill, who were invulnerable. It was hard enough to waste a sticky, but a good headshot would send them off on the next ferry. He felt the satisfying kick of the pistol against his braced wrist. The huge figure took a half step backward into the doorway. He clutched his chest, this time his hand coming away smeared with bright blood.
Fire blast!
Ryan shifted his aim higher, seeing that the full metal jacketed rounds weren't having much more effect than a spitball at a war wag. Two more shots, one in the center of the throat, and blood sprayed from the torn exit wound at the back of the giant's neck. The fifth round, delicately placed, whipped clean through the mutie's open mouth, barely burning his lips. The slug then sliced the creature's tongue along its length, angling upward off a broken back tooth. The round tore through the brain, exiting at the top of the man's head, and taking with it a fist-sized chunk of skull. Appallingly, the mutie colossus still didn't go down. When he lurched into the doorframe, his shoulders got jammed, holding him upright as gouts of blood flowed down over the face. His eyes were still open, and his hands, as big as plates, waved helplessly in the cold air, like someone in the last stages of drowning.
Should we shoot him again?
Waste of good lead. He's chilled. He just doesn't know it yet. Yeah, sure is. Hey, best see to the kid.
Don't call me fucking kid.
They knew he was all right then. By the time they'd got Jack on his feet again and shared a hasty meal of the now well-roasted venison, the mutie's corpse had sagged immovably into the doorway, blocking off the light from the front of the hut. Since the back door was torn off its single hinge, there was some light from the rear. Ryan and JB took turns stepping outside into the leaden cold to carry out a swift patrol, though neither expected to see anyone else. The cabin had obviously only held two occupants, and both were unarguably dead. Jack wiped drips of fat from his narrow chin.
Phew. Mutie shit stinks.
Generally do when they're alive. Being dead never made them any sweeter. Anyway, we best move. Others will be wondering where we've gone.
Ryan led the way out of the hut, across the crisp snow, toward where they'd found the sled. The sky seemed to be sinking closer to the earth, like the canopy over some murderously suffocating four-poster bed. The wind was still rising, and flakes of bitter white were carried in its teeth. From the dark horizon, it looked as though a bad storm could be on the way. They loaded up quickly with what they wanted,